Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Oh, yeah. Okay. Can everybody come just come around this piano here. Yeah, this little thing is kind of Andre style. Let's just hold on. Listen.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. You've tried everything that you thought you could. Oh, taste and see that His love is real. Open up right now. Let your heart be filled.
Just turn and see
that the
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook. Welcome to Taking It to the Streets Discipleship Class and Intercessory Prayer Meeting for this Monday, October the 2nd, 2023. Tonight in the War Room, we will be standing in the gap through teaching and intercession for our children, our teenagers, young adults, and our adult children. But before we get into the teachings and the prayers for tonight, I'd like to start by asking God to stand with us. Most gracious and Heavenly Father, we just ask that you just come on into the room and stand with us tonight as we pray and as we teach your holy word. Lord, we pray that the listeners will be empowered and impacted and encouraged, Lord God, to edify tonight. And if somebody doesn't know you in the pardon of their sin, we pray that tonight would be the night that they would give their life to you. It is in Jesus' name we do pray it all. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I praise God for the phenomenal servant leaders here at Spirit Alive, because in the house I have joining me tonight, Apostle Zeta Flowers. Now, you can hear Apostle Zeta Flowers every first and third Wednesday evenings for All Nations Bible Study, and she is a major contributor to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. I am joined by Bishop Lester Carver, who is the co-host of God's Great Love for Us. He is the host of Tuesday Night Teaching and Every Man Standing in His Place. I'm also being joined by Pastor Vanessa Carver, who is also the co-host of God's Great Love for Us, and she is the host of Wounded No More. We have in the house with us tonight Minister Tina Brown. Now, Minister Tina can be heard on Sunday mornings during the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience, and she is a major contributor to many programs here on Spirit Alive. And last but not least, we have with us Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, who is the mother of the Spirit Alive Ministry, in the house with us tonight, and you can hear her every Sunday on her post during the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. So I praise God for each and every one of them coming out tonight to stand together with me as we teach and we pray against Satan's tactics that are infecting and affecting our children, our teenagers, young adults, and adult children. Now, saints of God, as Christian parents, as mentors, as servant leaders, we all should be praying for the children while they're still in the womb, especially when we understand that we're in a spiritual war. Now, God's Amen. Word describes it this way in Ephesians 6 and 12. It says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood," and I'm reading from the NIV version, "blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places." So you see, while we're all targets for the enemy's scheme, Satan is smart enough to recognize that the attack on the younger generation is especially powerful. You see, he understands that if he can grab their hearts and establish false teachings in their minds from the earliest age, all he has to do is sit back and watch the dominoes fall. Yes, it is a terrifying thought to know that our children have an enemy that actively plots every day to steal, kill, and destroy them. But here's great news. The Bible promises that nothing, and I do mean nothing, can thwart God's plan for our children. No plan from the enemy can snatch our kids out of God's awesome covering. And speaking of the enemy, if we go on over to the end of the book and we read in Revelation 20, we will see that the old flathead Satan has already lost the war. Amen? So as Christians, It's our job to fight. And if you're a Christian parent, these battles for your kids' hearts are fought in prayer. As you use God's truth to claim victory, break down those half-truths and ask those divine questions and ask for divine guidance and answers to your questions from the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5, the Word of God proclaims, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." But you know what, parents? As servant leaders, as mentors, it is incredibly easy to be overwhelmed by this. We know that we're supposed to be praying for the kids, but what specific areas are most kids susceptible to a satanic attack? Well, there's truly no one answer to this question because every child is unique. As the Word of God says, our children are gifts from God. They are fearfully and wonderfully made, just as we were fearfully and wonderfully made. But I do believe, as I just deal with young people and I listen to parents, that there are a few areas where the enemy really attacks our kids and our young people, period. Today, our young seem to be hung up with self-worth. You see, we want our children's inner thoughts and self-worth to reflect the thoughts of God has about them instead of what the world has about them. We don't want them to be filled up and puffed up with pride or mere self-love. We want our kids to believe the truth. Again, we want them to know that they were beautifully handmade by Godfather God, who loves them so much that he gave his son's life. Just to have a relationship with them. And we want them to understand how much God values them and that nothing or no one can change who they are. Now, Satan will attack because he wants to teach our children that life is all about pleasure. He tells them that they need to ignore that voice of conviction that tells them when things are right and wrong. And at the same time, he's quick to condemn them for the mistakes that they make. He's quick to rub their noses in it and tell them that they aren't worthy. My Lord. And then another area that I see the devil is really good at hammering our kids about is self-image. You know, we want our kids to have a deep reverence for the intricate way that their body is formed, and we want them to have respect because we want our kids to grow up knowing that their bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And we want our kids to treat their bodies with respect by honoring the boundaries that God suggests, such as sexual exchanges that are only between man and a woman within the confines of a marital relationship. We want our kids to take good care of their bodies through healthy food choices and exercise, we also want them to understand that they are not defined by their physical appearance. You know, the enemy is real hard in this area today. First, he tells our kids that they're not uniquely made, but that they're simply a result of a random combination of genes that's taken millions of years to create. Then he tries to convince our kids that they are mere animals with physical desires that should be fulfilled at any cost. He wants them to believe that physical pleasure, such as sexuality outside of marriage, is normal and right, and that anyone who tells them differently is being judgmental. In the terms of health, he uses television and the media to also subtly promote certain body shapes as ideal over others. Tweens and teens are especially weak in this area since their bodies are rapidly changing on the outside and they are asking pivotal questions about their identity on the inside. So what he tries to do is he tries to convince them at every measure that every measure must be taken in order to have this ideal body image. And a lot of times all that does is lead to eating disorders and drug abuse, okay? Then another area that I see the devil really hitting our kids hard in is influence. Now, you know, we want our kids to be surrounded by those who can influence them toward God and God's purpose in their lives. And we want our kids to grow up and become those people who influence others in positive ways for the greater good. But Satan's easiest way to attack here would be, of course, to simply surround our kids with all kind of bad influences. But check this out. He's trickier than that. Now, while he still does try to place negative influences in our children's lives, he knows that if you're a good parent and you're doing your best to protect your kids from bad influences, then he has to go about it in another way. So he attempts the opposite. You know, instead of trying to put your kids around bad influences, he tries to keep the good influences out. He tries to keep our kids away from God's word. He keeps our kids away from us as parents. Because sometimes we just get too busy and distracted to influence our kids in the way that they need to be influenced. He strengthens our children's natural tendencies to laziness and complacency using books, television, news reports, and social media. He slowly pushes our kids into a false thinking that truth is relative and not absolute. And through this process, he affirms the postulate that an individual's godly influence is irrelevant and can even be considered offensive and judgmental against the beliefs of others. So slowly, he convinces them that they can't make a difference and they really don't have the power to change anything anyway, so why try? And then he attacks our children through their passions. You know, we want our kids to live on purpose, with passion, but and always seeking God's direction. We want them to grow up with a willingness to persevere and a deep understanding of the cost or the joys of commitment and to be unwilling to settle for complacency and being in a comfort zone. You know, Satan tries to distract and confuse them. He encourages them to use emotion to guide their decision-making instead of seeking to align their passions with what God is already doing. In addition, he doesn't want our kids to understand or appreciate their unique personality and talents that God has divinely given them. Instead, he encourages them towards laziness. He convinces them to be complete and content with just seeking self-pleasure and the easy way out. Through mindless pursuits, he keeps them numb to the better life of magnificent beauty that comes from following God. And then the last place that I really see him attacking our young people is through money, possessions, and work. Now, of course, we want our children to have a healthy relationship with money. But we want them also to understand that possessions are not equated to a person's worth, nor do they bring ultimate happiness. We want them to understand that the things of the world can bring us enjoyment, but that lasting joy is only found in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So parents, when we get right down to it, here it is in a nutshell. You know, we ask our kids, we pray that our kids would see at an early age that money and possessions are a gift. You know, and we must teach them to always walk around with their hands open so that they will use those gifts to bless others. You know, we want, we should be praying that our kids would discover the greatest wealth, and that would be the relationship that they have with Jesus Christ. Saints, if there's ever a generation that is at the center stage of attack by the kingdom of darkness, it's the one we have right now. It is in an all-around demonic onslaught, and our children are one of the primary targets. You know, I read in a book where Dr. Erwin Lutzer, he said, Christian parents no longer raise their children. Culture does. And I believe that because beneath the fine linen of culture is the lethal influence of social media and the internet. And they are two prominent avenues that have, for the most part, shaped the mind and the world views of many of our kids. That's why Emory White said technology facilitates cultural changes more quickly than anyone could imagine. In a nutshell, parents, you should know that we are at full-blown war with forces of darkness, most of which are now working through the sinister fabric of culture and technology to destroy the future and potentially the eternal destiny of our children. Do you want me to tell you a very hard truth? Satan has already fallen in love with our children, our teenagers, our young adults, our adult children, for one reason. He knows if he has these groups of individuals, then he has the future, okay? He knows that our young people are our future. So if he can kill them off, he can do a whole lot of damage. You see, they are using AI, artificial intelligence, to sexualize cartoons and video games. They are corrupting the educational curriculum of many schools at all levels. They are constructing and developing ads and content that redefine the biblical concept of marriage. They are force-feeding our children with hell-induced content to brainwash them into rebelling against God and the church. So there is now a well-calculated and tactically masterminded plan by the kingdom of darkness to capture and ruin the destinies of our young people by capturing their minds with the satanic and demonic vices of transgenderism, same-sex marriage, diverse forms of sexual immorality, prostitution, and so forth and so on. So our assignment today is simple. We have to wake up. We must get back to the world, and we must get down to the serious business of praying for all children, whatever age they are. And whatever captures your children captures our future. See, we just can't sit back and wait and see with that wait and see, that apathetic, that complacent attitude. Those days are over. We are at war, and our primary battlefield is now the mind of your children. That is where Satan and his time agents of destruction are playing their game. Okay? So we have to know and understand this time of casual and easygoing Christianity is over. If you're a parent, amen, you need to wake up, okay? You need to get your children and take a seat and have them take several of them and begin to really teach them the word. You need to get up yourself and make sure that they get to church. And you need to pray with them and for them. You know what the word of God says. It tells us to train up a child in the way that they should go. It doesn't say train up an adult. It says train up a child. If you don't get your kids batting down in the word now, I'm going to tell you, you won't be able to when they're an adult. You know, I'm so serious. We have to know that we're in a spiritual battle for our kids and our young adults and our teenagers and our adult children. Many adult children, they are returning home. They're returning home broken, bitter, battered. And, you know, they are returning home, and the enemy is just using them and telling them that they are failures because they have to return home, or they're telling them that they'll never amount to anything because they weren't good enough to make it on their own. But that's a lie, straight from the pit of hell. And the way we battle that is by praying for our children. So that is my setup for praying for our children tonight. So right now I'm going to ask that the Spirit of Life family come in. They might have case studies. They might know of situations that they can share with us, or they might have a straight teaching that they would like to share with us before they pray. So at this time, I'm going to ask Bishop Lester Carver to come on into the room and add some nuts to this conversation.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook. I'll tell you, it's a powerful thing when we understand the example that we put before our children, because really, we are the only Bible they're ever going to see. And you have to understand,
man,
kids respond to what they see. You can talk all day, but talk is cheap. And they are looking at what you do. And I have been so impacted by Christians who are going around whining about somebody taking prayer out of schools as if that can actually be done. Do you understand? You can't take prayer out of school. That can't be done. That can't happen. I know all the way back when they say they did it, we were praying in the high school dining room early in the morning before school got started. Nobody ever harassed us. And not just that. Now, you can speak in tongues to yourself at all times. You can pray to yourself at all times. You can go and pray. Nobody can stop you from praying at school. They won't. Even if they could, they wouldn't. The thing is, in our mind, we have relinquished. We have given the devil authority by believing the lie that he can take prayer out of schools. That's a lie. That can't happen unless we let it happen. Now, if you're talking about somebody making some rule that unbelievers have to pray, since when? Where did God say unbelievers got to pray? Nowhere. It's Christians who have to pray. And if we're in school not praying, that's not because somebody made a law saying we couldn't pray. It's because we're not praying in school because somebody taught us that the law has more power than the Holy Spirit has, and that's a lie. So we have to get to the point where we model prayer in front of our children. If your children don't see you praying, then they're probably not going to pray. If your children don't see you being confident in the promises of God, they're probably not going to be confident in the promises of God. If your children don't see you studying God's word, they're probably not going to study God's word. If your children don't see you fasting, they're probably not going to fast. If your children never hear you speak in tongues, they're probably never going to speak in tongues. And so now we have to begin to display obedience and submission to God, and trust in God, and serving God, and pleasing God. We have to model that before our children and stop being so hypocritical, because the reality is that many of us have been taking God on the side for far too long. And I believe that God gives us children to show us what he's putting up with us, sheer rebellion. And when you understand how you feel when your children are judging you, you know, when your children become teenagers, the problem that many parents have with teenagers isn't that they're teenagers. The problem that we have with them is that they're judging us, and we can tell they're judging us. And they're judging us because they have an idea of what's going on. They don't actually know. We resent the fact that they think they can judge us because they have no idea what it takes to make their existence occur. But the reality is that there is some truth in that, and that if things aren't quite right, a teenager can tell. A teenager can tell if your relationship with God is a show or not. They can tell if your act that you put on at church on Wednesdays and Sundays is real or not, and they will treat you accordingly. And now when you see your faith, I'm talking to the people who are actually walking out this walk, this faith walk. When your children see you trusting God, pleasing God, serving God, obeying God. And they understand the importance of studying God's word, fasting, praying, fellowshipping with like-minded believers, speaking in tongues, and operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. When they see that, then when they get older, they remember, and they do. And you see them meet life's challenges with the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's a blessing to you. You don't have to worry quite so much, although, you know, they can make you nervous. They're going to make you nervous. As a father of six and grandfather of 10, I can tell you that there are times where you get more than a little concerned, but once again, you have to give them to God. You got to trust God. We got to get real with this thing, though, because, see, the world thinks this is about morality and about you being a better person. You want to be a better person, they have self-help books for that. But if you want to display the power of God in the earth, you want to be a believer and have signs, miracles, and wonders following you, right? Then you are going to have to stand on these promises in the word, and then you're going to have to be about the business of God, which is reconciling the world back and being serious about understanding that, you know, this isn't a parade. This isn't a fashion show. This isn't morality for the sake of morality. It's, you know, all the morality in the world is not going to get you into heaven. There are some very good people who reject Jesus Christ, and the problem is that they reject Jesus Christ because all the morality in the world is not going to save them from their sin. And they can try to do it themselves. If they could have did it themselves, God wouldn't have had to send his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for them, right? So the problem that we have with our young people is a credibility issue. And I'm going to pray about that tonight. I'm going to pray that our hearts get right, that we get honest, that we stop making this about trivial issues, because this is really about the essence of our faith and the reality of what we do in our relationship with God and what we are actually standing on. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight. I praise you. I magnify you. I lift you up, God. You're greatly to be praised. There's no other like you in heaven or earth or under the earth, God. Father, I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, that you sent to pay for our sins. And I thank you for his broken body that paid for our physical wholeness. God, I thank you for your word that you've given us so that we can operate in knowledge and not be subject to ignorance. Father, I thank you for us being able and willing to operate the power that you've given us without shame so that our believing can generate signs, miracles, and wonders in the earth that will draw all men, women, and children to you. Father, I thank you for all those souls that you've called before the beginning of time to dwell with you. Father, I thank you for the privilege that we have of drawing those souls to you by being real in our relationship with you. Father, I thank you for the love that we generate among our children when our faith is
Lord.
When we are real in your presence, in the presence of our children. Father, I allowing ourselves to be real with our children and sharing our life experiences with them so that they can deal with their life experiences and be prepared for the reality of life and not the fairy tale that the world would sell them. Father, I thank you for you protecting our children from all the snares and traps of the devil and from those things that would keep them in bondage, keep them pleasing people, keep them serving money, keep them leaning to their own understanding, and keep them operating out of their own limited strengths, talents, and abilities, and draw them to a place where they serve you, God.
Yes,
draw them
Lord.
To a place where they please you, God. Draw them to a place where they trust you, God, and draw them to a place where they obey you and where they embrace the fullness of your power so that they can be known as your children in the earth, God. Father, I thank you for the power that you've given us to deny any power that would dare come against the power of the Holy Spirit you placed in us.
Lord.
I thank you for this right now in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop. All right, Mother Mitchell, come on into the room.
Oh, my goodness. Child and children, I agree with everything that Bishop Carver said, and the one thing he said, he said all of us. The one thing that he said is, love school doing things in front of them, wants them to emulate. And God is one of the biggest so-called and not a democracy. And it comes, Jesus. I am running a total. We're going to get up. We're not going to discuss. We can get up, go to church. I'm going to win alone and from under my tree. You may not want to do that. I will tell you when you're going to make. Thank you, grown. Best, but I tell you, if you have to pay for it and grow somewhere, and we're the only ones that they see sometimes. And when we're out, we see other people's kids. We be the only God sees. So, you know,
amen. Amen.
Roses and not all beautiful place. It's a very, God created a very beautiful place for us. You know, it was kind of ruined early on. We had to take, he had something in
okay, come on. Mm-hmm.
Of it. You know, because Adam and the Garden of Eden were supposed to be is walk around the garden and smell the flowers and the children. No matter how we got, we were supposed to, I am still y'all, and I'm 78 years old, soon to be 9 years old. When God tells me and my child or daughter when he can tell me, I don't resent that. I don't resent that. I am his child. And
amen.
Proving himself that he had to over and over and over my life with the thing wrong, and when I wasn't doing right, he thought more of me better than I was myself sometimes. And he still, for heaven, in my life.
Amen.
Know, I don't go work in, they would, one young was, I'm having time, but can we go out, Grace, for me? Sure, we can get it on. Let's do it. Thank you. Somebody's going to pray and feel hopefully alive.
All right. Hallelujah.
They can't stop you from praying, not school, before, after school, before church, after church. It can't be done.
Amen. Amen.
And your heart is in the right place, and you know that is your Father, and that you know he's also, he's the Creator. And God of your Savior, because he died on the cross for you and was resurrected, so you can be alive. And after he knew he was going to go back and sit on the right hand of the Father, then and he left us the Holy Spirit is the
amen.
Closest one
who
can try God to us.
Thank you, Jesus.
God has everything we have. I have been going to make a left turn, and I would hear the voice. Sure you want to that?
All right, come on now.
What am I doing? And you know, sometimes you just have to stop and say, I was fixing to do something wrong. And you just bet. But you have to.
Jesus.
I'm the old deceiver's voice, because he can make his voice
Holy
real,
Holy
pleasant to your ear.
Move, God, move.
You know, they're used. Our image and everything, possible.
Amen, Mom.
You know, to lose weight and be more stuff. It was made for people like you, be not to use that as a weight loss program.
All right.
And I'm looking at it and I'm going, are they absolutely crazy? crazy or wrong with them. And I'm not judging. I'm just saying it's what the world they should be. So if you look like Twiggy, and I never did, a few there I did, but it took very long because I like, you know, but anyway, some people probably don't even know it, but she took example of when supposedly held from 90 pounds to so fast I didn't ever there.
Amen. All right.
Children. Thank you, Apostle, for letting me have this word. And let me just say a quick prayer.
Yes, please.
I just want to say.
Please, just go ahead and pray. Thank you.
And something. Sorry?
Go ahead and pray because you're cutting in and out, Mother Mitchell.
Okay, let me move this. I tilted a little far.
Okay.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Bye. We hear you a little bit better.
Appreciate all you and for everything you've done in my life. But I can maybe still help with. I still teach school in Texas, and I.
You're cutting in and out.
Still young people, because as it's been, they are our I will be gone, and the ship made apostle, and some of us will be gone. We will be in, and the people that are left to help our children to find their way. So I thank you, Lord, for however much time you have given. I have used it the most
Amen.
Well, not her, but I thank you that you get opportunity after opportunity.
Amen. Amen, and glory to God. Minister Tina, come on in the room.
Thank you, Apostle Cook. That was a wonderful message this evening. I would like to go into prayer, if that's okay.
Amen. It's always okay.
Stay in the gap for the children. So I'm going to go right into prayer. Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace this evening, just thanking you for another message that you've given us through Apostle Apostle Cook and our Spirit Alive Ministry family, Heavenly Father. We lift up all of our children to you, no matter what their age, from baby, adolescent, teenager, to adult children, Heavenly Father. We lift them up to you, as well as their parents, Heavenly Father. May you guide them and assist them as they go about their walk with you, Heavenly Father. May you give them guidance to stay away from the evil temptations of social media, of the things that are around them that are influencing them to not walk with you, Heavenly Father. We thank you so much for your children as they are a blessing, Heavenly Father. They bless us every day with their presence, and we're so thankful that we have children in our life, Heavenly Father. We lift them up to you, Heavenly Father, and we are so thankful that you're guiding them. You're putting the right people in place for them to be able to walk with you, Heavenly Father. We are so thankful that we have this opportunity to pray for the children and their parents so that they can guide them to be with you, Heavenly Father, and learn more about you and your Son, Jesus Christ, and how he died on the cross for us, the children, and all life that is important to you, Heavenly Father. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Apostle Zeta, come on in the room. If you have some teaching, you like to make some, you have some nuggets of truth to add to the introduction, and then you are more than willing, happy to pray, come on in the room and let the Lord have his way with you, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to share a few things, and then I will, I just have some things that I would like to pray for concerning children and young people and youth groups and so on. I have done a lot of work with children. The Lord blessed me to raise four, and I thank God for that. And prior to that, I was very instrumental in some of my siblings' children's lives, which makes for a good relationship between them and myself now, even nephews and nieces. And I thank God for that because I'm still involved with their lives, more so now spiritually. But I know that our children, of course, we all know that they really do need prayer. I'm going to pray for some of these things that came to my mind today that they really need, because the world, as we all know, has so much out there to offer our kids. And a lot of times, you know, they're not bad children or bad young people or young adults, but they feel as though they have missed out on things because, you know, because of the way that some of us have raised them in the home, and we watched over them and kept them close. And so once they get older, of course, they're mixing with other children that may not have been, spiritually influenced by their parents, or attending church or Bible study or being taught how to pray. And so oftentimes they'll stray away because they feel like, you know, we may have been too hard on them, or they missed out, you know, because they're seeing different things that their friends are doing and being and actually being involved with. It's not things that are not good for them. So I'm going to be praying for humility for our children and young people, young adults, praying for them to actually have the humility, praying for their humility so that they will, you know, listen, at least listen to their elders and be obedient, praying for discernment, praying for them that they will not be influenced by the world and other young people that are not that are believers. Praying for more prayer and Bible study in the home, praying for parents, praying for godly friends, praying for healthy relationships, you know, for our children, and so on, and good guidance and direction for them, and praying for them to have a desire to serve God. And also, I think another thing, too, is that we just need to encourage them, that a lot of times that's what they need. They need encouragement.
Yes, amen. And, amen.
I can speak for myself sometimes. I know we get busy sometimes, and our kids are busy also, but they might not always be busy in the areas where we would like them to be busy. So I'm praying for that tonight as well. So, but I am going to go into prayer. But I have worked in the schools and other places where they're, you know, I've been involved with children. Counseling children through a non-profitable organization called Harbor House in the city of Oakland. So I've had a lot to do with children and still do. And even I found out that even little ones, well, I know it for a fact, that even little ones, it's never too early to work with them. And how I do it with young ones is I have CDs that I play for them. One of them is a teaching on prayer, and it engages them to pray, and not only engages them to pray, but teaches them what prayer is, what it really is, and those things are helpful. Reading to them, you know, Bible studies, but in a way that they can understand. For themselves, so it doesn't just go over their heads, but to really be patient with them because they need that also. Some of the ones that are very young, their attention span is not very long, so you need to get it to them quickly, and because you know, if you go too far, too long with them, you're going to lose them because they're going to start getting up and wandering around. So these are some of the things that I have put in practice. We also need to pray, or I'm going to be praying for their wisdom, according to Proverbs, the third chapter, the fourth and fifth verses, because they really need godly wisdom. Okay, so I'm going to start praying. Some of the scriptures that I came to my mind, well, of course, Romans 12 and 2, 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and as I mentioned before, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, and 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, because we need to also pray against temptation with our young people, because there's a lot of things out there that can tempt them and lure them. So I want to pray for that as well. Okay, so I'm going to go into prayer. Father God, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for what has come forth already. Thank you for the things that Apostle Shirlene brought out concerning our children and some of the things that they are affected by in the world. So we want to lift them up tonight. So, Father God, I pray for humility for our children, that they would have humility, that it will be taught even more from us as parents and other believers, other leaders, and that also that some of our children have counselors, and we pray for strong counselors for their sake, and also for mentors, that they would really be seeking the Lord themselves. Also, Father God, we pray for our children. We come against temptation that is often something that will draw them away. So we pray that they will be strong and not yield toward temptation, that they will understand what it's all about. I also pray for godly friends for them, that they will be friends with other believers in Christ, that they will have healthy relationships, and pray for guidance, your guidance, Lord, and your direction. Pray for your leading them, and also pray for them to have a strong desire to want to serve God.
Yes, Lord.
For that, in the name of Jesus. And pray, Lord, that you will be in the midst of the youth groups.
Yes, Lord.
And ensure that they are getting what they need, because there are some, I'm finding out that there are some youth groups, Father God, that where children are and young adults and the youth are attending, where it's really just social and without spiritual intervention.
Mm-hmm.
So I pray, Lord, that these youth pastors and youth leaders will be strong in the faith and will be teaching them what they need to hear and what they need to know. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen and amen. All right, Pastor Vanessa, come on in and let the Lord use you and take your time.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I thought of, welcome everybody. I thought of a couple of things, and you all touched on it. And this is such a very good topic, and I could do a couple series on this one, actually. But maybe something I'll do in the future. But God called to me. I was going to pray about purpose and direction and coming against hopelessness in the demographic for adult children and for, you know, all ages, really. When they start knowing right from wrong, you'd be surprised how the enemy will try to implant hopelessness in these children and follows them. Depending on how they were born, depending on the people they're around, their environment, and all over the world. But I'm going to pray about that, but I'm also going to pray about a dream that I had. and he gave this to me like the last 10 minutes. I had a dream about over 10 years ago, because I was in school at the time. I was in college at the time, and I had had it, and I had a dream, and some of these things are coming, have already come forth, where I was in a high school parking lot, and during that time in my life, and I was in school, but I also had kids in almost every grade. I had high school, middle school kids, elementary school kids, and so I was always driving somewhere. So in this dream, I had a dream that I was in a parking lot of a high school waiting for one of my kids to come out. So it was a very realistic dream. Well, while I was sitting and waiting for my child, all of a sudden in one of the buildings, I saw a bunch of kids on the roof of the building. And I was wondering, what are those kids doing up there? And I just kind of got outside my car and saw how they were jumping off the building. So it was like a mass suicide. And it was just kids just jumping and jumping and jumping. And one of the kids that jumped off of the building, and I just started screaming, like it was so frightening to watch. And one of the kids that jumped off the building survived and started flying and turned into a demon and started running through the parking lot. And I jumped in my car and hid up under the console of the car. I got on the floor of the car because it scared me so bad. This child had turned into a demon. And so I just got so scared because I wanted to get my child out of the school. And I couldn't tell you what kid it was. But after that demon left, I opened up my door and ran to the school door. And guess what I saw? Kids were running rampant, screaming. I mean, it was just mayhem. And I went to try to find my child. So I was asking kids what was going on. And one of the children told me that there was a suicide club in the school, and these kids had planned to do this. They had been planning it for a long time, and it was creating a lot of fear and everything, these kids. But what I did see, this is what the reason why I told this dream, is that in the gymnasium, there was a herd of young people on their knees crying out and praying. Just like at least 50
Hallelujah.
To 60 kids praying in intercession and crying out to God. And I won't tell the rest of the dream, but that dream just came to me, and so I just want to pray for those who know what their purposes are, who know what they're supposed to be doing. And these are very young kids, some kids as young as 9 and 10 years old, all the way up to adults. And as a person that is called in this generation to a particular work, they will be dealing with a lot of resistance. And they are dealing with a lot of resistance. And I think I'm going to pray about direction, those who are directionless, who are dealing with hopelessness, but I'm also going to pray for that faction of people, young adults and children, and adults who are dealing with, they know what the call of their life is, and they are called to with such a fervency and a passion that is God-led, but there's many adversaries, many doors of opportunity, but many adversaries. And so as Paul had said, and it's very, very true, so God said, let's not forget them. Let's not forget to cover them. So I will go into prayer about that. So Father God, I just thank you for this opportunity to do this corporate collective thing as we pray over our children and pray over their lives. I pray, Lord, for those right now who are dealing with a sense of hopelessness, Lord. And I pray to have a sense of that the ones that don't have a sense of purpose in their life, Lord, that you fulfill it and give them the ability to understand that with much clarity. Lord, give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that the eyes of their understanding will be opened. And I thank you, Lord, today for tearing away some of these relationships that they have. Lord, help them to know What is the hope of your calling? What is the exceeding greatness of your power, as it says in Ephesians 1:17-19? I pray, Lord, that your plans to fulfill their destiny and purpose, Lord, will have its perfect work in them, Lord, and that no plans of the enemy, Lord, even though we're aware that there will be resistance, that he is active to try to thwart your plans, he can't steal your purpose in them. He can try to take the impact, but he can't steal the purpose in them. Enable them, Lord, to separate themselves from all distraction in this world and know what that looks like for them individually, to separate themselves from it, Lord, whatever it is as it pertains to whether social media or relationships, even distractions that they may find in their very family or people that they're very familiar with and very close. Lord, keep them from wasting their life and pursuing things that are taking them off the path of the things that you want them to do. I pray that all they see, that they will get the support that they need, godly support, to help them get closer to you and know who they are, Lord, who you are and who they are. Enable them, Lord, to always be growing in their relationship with you. And, Lord, anything that would stunt their growth, Father God, I thank you to uproot it right now. Lord, I thank you for showing parents, showing us, Lord, how to pray specifically for our adult children and their purpose and direction and calling. Give us insight. Give us revelation. Help us, encourage us, Lord, to give us helpful input without being judgmental or being too overbearing or being fearful or leaning to our own understanding. Lord, where there needs to be boundaries, Lord, sometimes they need to be drawn. Show us clearly what they are and what they should be. Where the answer seems to be a long time in coming, help us to be patient and not to give up based on what we're seeing. Sometimes we're too close to the fire. We feel the heat. We need to keep our focus on you and trust you. Help our adult children to hear your voice, Lord, so that they have a word in their heart that's from you, for them, directly from them, and that they're not feeding on or feasting off of the things that we said over them, but they have an ear to hear the things you have said about them. Specifically, based on their calling. Thank you for cultivating a personal relationship with them, Lord, that they'll be encouraged, that's available to them at any time, at any age. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that our children don't have this, that don't have a sense of purpose, that I pray that they'll never, that they find it, and for those who have it, that they never lose it. Give them the wisdom, Lord, and the motivation to take the right steps every day. Every day. Help them, Lord, not to compartmentalize it and make it one thing, and this is the way I live here, and this is the way I live here, or around these people I do this, around these people I don't. I pray that they will never fail to consider the destiny in every choice that they make in their lives, Father God, that it is affected. There's things, Lord, that they may do now, even as middle school children, that will affect them the rest of their lives. There's choices, Father God, that they may make, Lord, that will make, and plans that they may make, Lord, that will affect the rest of their lives. I thank you, Lord, today also for those who are, you know, allowing you to direct their ways. They're committing themselves to you. And I truly believe, Lord, if they don't have a plan, the enemy definitely has a plan for them and is dangling over them. And even at very young ages, they'll tell you what they want to be. And they'll tell you sometimes, if they're articulate enough, and most of them are, they'll tell you why they want to be that. And so I thank you, Lord, today that we pray in a place of authority as parents and caregivers and teachers and those who are around our children, even in our neighborhoods, when we see things that are off, that we just cover these children till they get to the place, Lord, where they're more aware of who you are and who they are. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I just stand in total agreement with the prayers of the righteous. Father God, I want to thank you. Thank you first and foremost just for the opportunity to come together and to pray with focus in one spirit, on one accord, standing on our faith, Lord, trusting and believing you to do exactly, Lord God, what you said you would do. Now, Lord God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for our young people, and I pray that they with themselves would stand up. They themselves will begin to lead. They themselves will begin to tell others about you, Father God. I want to see your young people, Lord God, hallelujah, doing a real work, not just having barbecues, not just having picnics, but, Father God, I pray for the time when we see them actively out in the trenches doing evangelism, Lord, hallelujah, telling somebody about what you've done in their lives, Father God. I just pray right now for every young person, every teenager, every young adult, and every adult child right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, where that spirit of entitlement reigns, we bind it right now in the name of Jesus, and we lose the spirit of gratitude. Lord God, where there's a spirit of rebellion, Father God, we bind it right now. Hallelujah. Yep. And we loose the spirit of obedience and submission. Father God, we pray that these young people, hallelujah, would revere and respect the wisdom, knowledge, and discernment and understanding that you have given to these Christian parents, those who are truly being obedient to your will and your word, Lord God. Because we know, Lord God, that you can do all things. So, Lord, help us to first be humble ourselves before you at all times. First, Father God, let us be obedient, like Bishop Lester said, before you at all times. Hallelujah. Yes. Let us always make everything about you, Father God, and never about us. Hallelujah. Lord God, if we want to tell our children not to follow money, not to worry about materials, then we should not be worried about the dresses that we wear and the clothes that we wear and the houses that we live in and the cars that we drive. We cannot be hypocrites, Lord. We can't say one thing and do another. We cannot live vicariously through our young people. And, Father God, we must allow you to do with them what you would want them to do, not what we think they should do. So, Lord, we pray against those spirits in those adult children that might come against their parents in ways that they should not. Hallelujah. No child should want to put their parent away. No child should want to shut their parent down. So, Lord, we pray against that manipulative spirit. We pray against those spirits that will try to come in and disrespect
Lord.
Their elders. That will come in, Father God, and will try to dismantle what their parents have built. Those spirits that will come in, Father God, and will usurp what their parents are doing in you. Lord God, we ask that they would come to know you and the pardon of their sins.
Yes,
so that they
Jesus.
Would line up under your word, so they would line up under your will, so that they would
Lord
stand
God.
With their parents and be a united unit, a united unit, Lord, in you. Lord, I just praise you right now for our young people, and I praise you for all those young people that are praying, that are
listening,
that are living a life of abstinence, that are doing your will, Lord God, because they know for themselves that they want to see you and live with you for all eternity. So, Lord, we just pray that they continue to spread the good news. And I just want to thank you for these mighty servant leaders that came out to pray tonight. And, Lord, we just want the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart to be acceptable in thy sight, because you truly are our strength and our redeemer. Amen. And thank you, Jesus, and glory to God. Hallelujah, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. You have been listening to Taking It to the Streets, Meet Me in the War Room, and tonight we have been praying for our young people. And you know what? As we pray these intercessory prayers, we want you to know we're just not praying on these Monday nights and then we cease to pray about these things. I hope and pray that as you listen to us tonight, you might have been writing down some things in your prayer journal that the Lord spoke to you, because we're not going to tell you what to pray. We want you to trust the Holy Spirit that is in you. You see.
Amen.
Learn to trust what God is doing in you. Don't worry about what he's doing in somebody else. Just learn to listen to him and hear him for yourself. Hallelujah. Because
Amen.
It might be you. You might be the one that has that piece of that puzzle that somebody needs to hear. If only you would stand still and just let God use you.
Yeah.
So I want to thank Apostle Zeta Flowers, Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, and my dear sister, Minister Tina Brown, for all coming out tonight and standing with me in intercessory prayer. And I just praise God. This is one of the reasons why I love this family so much, is because they are faithful to show up and pray, stand in the gaps for others. So we pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week. Tomorrow, you can tune in at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to join Bishop Lester Carver for his Tuesday night teaching. This Wednesday, you can tune in at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and then you can hear Apostle Zeta Flowers. She's going to be teaching her All Nations Bible Study. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, and then so we just pray that you will continue to walk with us here at Spirit Alive. For more information about us, it is contained in the body of our slides, or you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. So we pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night from all of us at Taking It to the Streets and the Spirit Alive Network. Beautiful job, my family. I love you. God bless you. Thank
you
so much.
I love you. God bless you. Thank
you
so much.
Thank you. I just love you. God bless you.